you are one decision away from changing your life forever. Hi, this is Greg, one of the pastors here at West Valley Christian. We all want to make the right choices today that lead to a better tomorrow, but too many of us are living with regret, guilt, and challenges simply because we are too distracted. In this series, we will take a look at the 7 principles that you can gain wisdom from to help you make godly choices today with a future story in mind. The choice is yours.
So I'm excited to be with you today as we continue our series, The Choice is Yours. And we're actually, believe it or not, in our 5th week of this series. And I'm so excited about what God has in store for us today from His Word and how it will speak to our lives. I'd like to start off with a story about a man that was really sick, and he goes to the doctor with his wife, and the doctor does the examination and runs all the blood tests and comes back with all the results, and he's going to walk out to the reception area where the wife is just on pins and needles waiting to find out how her husband is. And when he walks into the room, the wife could see the expression on the doctor's face that things were probably not good. She says, "Doc, what is it? What does my husband have? Is he going to be okay? Is he going to live?" The doctor responded. He says he has a rare form of anemia, and if he doesn't, if he leaves it untreated, then yes, it'll be fatal. But I have good news for you. There is a cure. And she said, "A cure? All right. Well, tell me, what is the cure?" And the doctor proceeded to say the following. He says, "With proper rest and proper nutrition, the disease will go into remission, and your husband should live for many, many more years. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your husband home and feed him 3 home-cooked meals a day. I want you to treat him like a king. I want you to wait on him hand and foot. Bring him breakfast in bed, and don't let him do anything that you could do yourself. If he needs something, please take care of it." He went on to say, "Give him a back rub in the morning, full body massage in the evening. And oh, one more thing. Because his immune system is weak, you'll need to keep the house spotless. Do you understand? Do you have any questions?" She looked at the doctor and said, "No." She left the reception room, walked into the exam room where her husband was sitting there. He could see a concerned look on her face, and he says, "What is it? What do I have? Am I going to be okay?" She looked him straight in the eyes and said, "You're going to die." Now, it's okay. You could go ahead and laugh. This is a humorous story, but there is a point to it for our message today. You see, you and I were born to serve. Okay, maybe not in the extreme of this story that I just told you, but the truth is, all of us are born to serve. Do you believe that? No, really. Do you believe that? Let me say it a different way. In the words of Gandhi, he says, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." Let me repeat that. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Well, as we continue in our series, The Choice is Yours, where we've looked at 7, or we're going to look at total 7 decisions that will help change our life, help us to live the life that God has for us. So far, we've looked at the decisions of start, then stop, stay, and go. Well, today, the 5th decision that we're going to look at is that of serve. Are you ready? Let's pray and ask God to just be with us and prepare our hearts for what He has to say. God, with so much going on in our world, so much going on in our community, and maybe we even within our own home. And if we zoom in even closer, maybe just our own hearts, we come before your throne of grace, knowing that you are God and we are not. Knowing, God, that you have our best interest. Today, as we open up your book, your word, may we be encouraged. May we be inspired. May we be strengthened. May we be challenged with whatever area of our life that we need to be spoken to. And I pray that for not only each person that's listening, but I pray that for my life, God. We pray today for not information, but transformation. God, thank you for what you've already done in this service, and we thank you for what you're about to do. I love you. We love you. In the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Matthew chapter 22. And if you're a longtime attender at West Valley Christian Church, you know where we're going right now. But Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39 says this, in answer to the question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus responds in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 22, and if you know this, say this out loud with me. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And then he would go on to say, and the second of these commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. We say this oftentimes here at West Valley Christian Church. The reason we exist, and honestly, I believe the reason why every church exists and why every person exists on this earth is simply stated right here in these verses. We are to love God and to love people. Well, Pastor, what does that have anything to do with our word today? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because remember, the word, the decision, the principle for today is the word serve. And when we think about that in the context of the two most important commandments, I believe that both of those are fulfilled when we serve in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I serve in the name of Jesus Christ, we are loving God and we are loving those that in whom we are serving. Therefore, I believe this decision is so important for everyone out there listening. So why serve? If you're taking notes, write down number one. Made to serve. That's our first point. And it's really answering this question. Why? Why serve? Because we're made to serve. I want to run through a few passages that speak to this, that validate this, that lay the foundation for this truth. And to be honest, there are three or four more times the verses that I'm going to share with you that I could have used. And so I just picked a few of them. But we're going to run right through these. But again, this is going to speak to answering the question, why we are to serve. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 says this, the greatest among you will be your servant. The greatest among you will be your servant. And by, I say on a side note, that flies in the face of what our world is teaching us today, especially what our country is teaching and modeling for us today. That's why I sure hope we have some young listeners out there, some young ears that could hear this from God's word today, because we need God's word. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 and verses 14. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. Did you know that? We were called to be free. We're not to be enslaved by sin. We're not to be squashed by darkness. But God says in this passage that we were called to be free, not imprisoned. But do not use your freedom. Do not use your freedom to indulge in what? The flesh. But serve one another humbly in love. Did you catch those last 5-6 words? Serve one another humbly in love. Can you say that with me? Serve one another humbly in love. One more time. Serve one another humbly in love. Oh, how I need to hear this. Oh, how our church community needs to hear this. Oh, how the community in which I live in needs to hear this. Oh, how the state I live in needs to hear this. The country, the world. To serve one another humbly in love. Would you agree that life would look a lot different if we all lived out these 6 words? Then he continues in verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Are you seeing the theme in the 4 verses that I've just read through? Well, let me read just one more here. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, there's a little a debate, a positioning that's going on. And if you read before, earlier in the text, you could see this. But I want us to focus in on verse 24 of Matthew 20. It says, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the 2 brothers. Jesus called them together. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. He's going to teach these 12 men, his 12 disciples, a lesson right now. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, now listen, must be your servant. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, just as the Son of Man, in reference to Jesus, Matthew chapter 28 tells us in 18 that Jesus has all authority and power in heaven and earth, that he is the living water, the Bible teaches us, that he's the bread of life, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the way, the truth, and the life. This Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And we see this, how he came into this world, humbly, through a young little couple where there was no room in the inn, laying in a manger. No big parade, no big fanfare, no big signs, no celebration. And then how he exited this earth in a very humble, servant way on the cross. A horrific death, painful death, lonely death. Where Jesus is on the cross and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I would argue is the loneliest moment in human life on this earth ever. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus modeled a life of servanthood. He modeled it with the 12 men that he invested in. You can only imagine how often he had to pick up after these guys. He modeled this throughout his life and his ministry here on this earth. Late nights, early mornings, hot days, question after question, opposition. He stayed on task. He's a servant. Listening to the woman at the well. Touching. Hugging the leper who hadn't probably been hugged in years, maybe decades. Hanging out with people that no one else would hang out. Serving alongside those that no one else would serve. Healing them. And as I shared earlier, the cross. He modeled servanthood on the cross. You see, the reason I've walked through that is Jesus is not asking anything of you and I that he wasn't willing to do himself. Jesus is not asking anything of you and I that he did not model in his life. I love this verse in John chapter 4, verse 34, where Jesus says, my food is pizza. Okay. It doesn't say that. It says tacos. No, it doesn't say that. John chapter 4, verse 34 says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Wow. Jesus says, my food is to serve God, my Father. My food is to please him. This teaching came right after he finished ministering to the thirsty woman. And you can read this. But this is what Jesus' ministry here on this earth was all about. From start to finish. Craig Rochelle is a resource. His book, Divine Direction, is a resource that we've been using throughout this series. And he writes this in his book. He says, when the people around us are saying, get all you can, it's all about you. God wants us to contribute rather than to consume. Let me say that again. When all those around us are saying, get all you can, and it's all about you, God wants us to contribute rather than consume. When all of culture says, fill yourself, God tells us to fill others. God didn't create us to be takers. Craig goes on to say, he created us to be givers. Rather than focusing on our desires, we are called to focus on the needs of others. Instead of cutting to the front of the line, we are called to wait at the end. God created us to serve. God created us to serve. Now, maybe throughout this series, different decisions have hit you in different ways. Maybe you needed to hear that start decision. Maybe you needed to hear the stop decision. Maybe it was all about the stay sermon or last week, the go one. But there's someone out there that this is your aha moment. That really, even as a Christ follower, you found yourself consumed about yourself. Consumed with maybe even during this pandemic with just surviving it or maybe hiding in fear and not knowing what you're supposed to do or how you're even supposed to live. Maybe this is the message that God is wanting you to hear right now, that life lived at its best is not focused on oneself, but on loving God and loving others. And this is what truly fills our cup. Maybe some of you are out there going, oh, come on, Pastor. That's a bunch of baloney. Come on, Pastor. I need to guard myself. I need to protect myself. I've been taught it's my world and everybody else just happens to be living in it. Well, I'm sorry if that's what you feel. I'm sorry if that's what you think, but I understand why you feel and think that. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. I know that sounds really good, oh, me, oh, my, but that's a country song I just quoted, I think. But my friends, this is where we've fallen apart. It's not about us. It's about him. And anything that I have is from him. I have not earned anything. I don't deserve anything. Every day is a day of grace. Have you thought about that lately? And so serving should not be an obligation. It should be a response to the grace bestowed upon each and every one of us as human beings. Amen? Now, there's a part of this that I understand, and I could go off on a tangent. I'm not. You could serve too much, and you could be abused and taken advantage. Yes, I get that. And no, God is not calling us to be abused. God is not calling us to be taken advantage of. But for many of us, that's not the issue. For many of us, we struggle with this whole concept of service. The truth is, when we put God and others first, we discover a new and counterintuitive truth. And here it is. You may want to write this down. When we give our lives, that is when we find them. When we give our lives, that is when we find them. I've learned this truth. If you've been around West Valley long enough, you know that for 18 years, before I ever made the decision to become a Christian at the age of 18, it was about me. And just because I gave my life at 18 to Jesus Christ, for the last 34, 35 plus years, I've had to still work on less of me, more of him. And I think that's true for all of us. I don't think we ever completely arrive at this. But we constantly have to be reminded, when we give our lives, that's when we find them. When we serve others, we are serving God. There's so many ways to share this and illustrate it. There's scripture that says, you know, when we feed you, when we clothe you, when did we do this, Lord? Well, when you fed the least of these, when you clothed the least of these, you were serving me. Again, fulfilling the two most important commandments that we read at the beginning of this message out of Matthew chapter 22. Love God, love others. We're made to serve, my friends. And Jesus himself said, this is my food. This is what fills me. And if that's what fills Jesus, don't you think that serving ought to fill us? Think about that. Is this true for you in your life? Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. This is why when someone is really down and they come into my office and they're struggling, one of the first things I challenge them to do is to go serve. And what that does is it naturally takes the focus off of ourselves and all the stuff that we're struggling with, and it allows us to put our eyes on somebody else. And I have learned this in my own life, and I've learned it through one testimony after another of people that have gone and done that after I've challenged them, that there's something healing, there's something fulfilling about getting our eyes off of ourselves and serving our brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. God did not create us to be takers. God created us to be givers. God did not create us to be takers. God created us to be givers. That leads me to the second point, and really it's the question of, well, then how do I get there? And if you're writing, if you're taking notes, write this down. The second point is look out. Look out. That's how we get there. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, rather than looking at yourself, look and focus on the needs and desires of those around you. It's not really complex. It's not like you need to go pray for and fast for 12 years or 12 days or even 12 hours. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but it's really simpler than what we're making it. Sometimes we're waiting for the church to create that opportunity. We're waiting for someone else to tell us what it is that we're supposed to do. I simply say, open up your eyes, and there's plenty of opportunities to serve out there. Open up your eyes. Look out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. You see, Paul is setting the table here for unity. He's setting the table here for love. It's a message for the audience that he was writing to then, and it's a message for us in 2020. Then he's going to go on, and he's going to tell us the key. As you continue reading in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather in what? Rather in humility, value others. Can you sit there for a second? Value others above who? Above yourself. See, that's the key to serving. We have to look outside of ourselves. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Value others above yourself. Is this sort of thinking being modeled? Is this sort of thinking being shown on television and social media and talked about on talk shows on radio? I don't have to go out on a limb to say, for the most part, no, it's not. It's just the opposite. It's your world, and everybody's living it. But this says to value. And I'll just say this right now. We can't be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve those that he has created if we don't value those who he's created. And you and I are being challenged with this on a daily basis. My friends, it's not about, are you red or are you blue? Are you left or are you right? Are you Republican or are you Democrat? It's not about conservative or liberal or a Padres fan or a Dodgers fan. I'm sorry, I had to throw that one in there. It's about loving and serving people through our faith filter. Not our political filter. My brothers and sisters, with as much love as I could conjure up in my heart right now, and this is to my friends that have said yes to Jesus Christ. If you haven't made that decision, listen in. But brothers and sisters in Christ, if we claim to be a Christ follower, I want to challenge you to live life through the faith filter and not the political filter. We need to come back to the words and the truth of this book, not Facebook. We need to be challenged to be reminded that we live according to his word, not the media's word. We live according to the Son of Man, not human. If we are being discipled by Jesus, then humility and valuing others ought to rise to the top of our conscience, ought to be seen in the fruit of how we live our lives. But I think so many of us, even in the church, are being discipled by CNN, Facebook, Fox News, our neighbors, our own conscience. And let me encourage you that we need to be brought back and be discipled by God and His Word. And when we're doing that, we're going to be better servants. Philippians chapter 2 continues on in verse 4. It says, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. I'm going to be honest. That is really hard right now. Because there's some people that really bug me. Am I supposed to say that? Oh, you're a pastor. You should have everyone figure. No, there's people that irritate me. And I guarantee you, I irritate people. Okay, so we're even. But that doesn't matter. Scripture's saying not looking to your own interest, but looking to the interest of others. You see, when I look out, I'm able to see many opportunities to serve. How about you? Serving fills my cup. Serving has become my food. It's a huge part of my story, which I don't have time to share here today. But I've gone from me-focused to others-focused. Not always. And the encouraging thing is, if you know, my wife and I have two boys, one that's 13 and one that's turning 27 next week. And we are not the perfect parents, and we have not done everything right. But in this one area, things are caught, not taught. And one thing that I know is my wife is a servant. If you knew how many hours she put into this church behind the scenes, you'd be blown away. My in-laws are servants. My sons are both servants. Again, they're not perfect. They don't always do all the right things. But one thing that they do well at is serve. Friends, how are you doing in this area? I challenge you to read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. It's the story of Jesus serving, washing the disciples' feet, the dirtiest part of a human's body, especially during that time. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And at the end of this, in John chapter 13, verse 15, he says, I have set an example that you should do as I have done. Very, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Again, the challenge of servanthood. I know that many of you that are listening call West Valley Christian Church your home. And in some ways, I preach to the choir because West Valley has been built on servanthood. We have a history of saints that are servants and have sacrificed in ways that we will never know. We stand on the shoulders of men and women that have served in so many ways that we will never know their names or their faces. One of those just passed last week. Our brother Larry Powell, true servant of the Lord, even in his 80s, did so much around our church that most people would never know. We need to keep modeling and teaching servanthood. Because when the church stops serving, the church stops existing. When the church stops serving, the church stops existing. Ministry doesn't just happen. It takes all of us serving. Sunday on the lawn, set up and take down. That just doesn't happen. We don't snap our fingers and ta-da! Children's ministry and teen ministry and all the different things that the church does doesn't just happen. It's because you, as Christ followers that call this church your home, you engage, you serve. And some of you don't. And that's okay, But that's maybe why you need to be listening to this message. Maybe God is calling you to make the choice of service. And service isn't just in the church. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be in the workplace. It could be where you recreate. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm so grateful for the many servants here at this church. Matthew chapter 23, 11 says, "The greatest among you will be your servant." So we've looked at why, because we're made to serve. We looked at how, look out. Now I want to close with what. And what? What prevents us from serving? And I'm going to say, there's a lot of things that we could say, but I'm just going to close with this. Consumer mentality. Write that down. Consumer mentality. Consumer versus contributor mindset. I believe the trend started somewhere in the mid-70s, maybe the 80s in the church, where all of a sudden the vocabulary of Christ followers' mouths came this. I'm church shopping. I'm church shopping. Where in the world does that come from? Or I left this church because it didn't meet my needs. When have we become consumers in the church and not contributors in the church? Back in the day in fast food, you got a hamburger, and it came with the pickles, and it came with the lettuce, and it came with the ketchup, and it came with the tomato, whatever it was, it came with it. And whatever you didn't like, when you got that hamburger, you took it off. But nowadays, we're so consumer that we ask for everything exactly how we want it, and if we don't get it exactly like we ordered it, then we throw a fit. Have you ever stood in Starbucks, or maybe you're that person, that I even was a few months ago behind somebody that in their order, they said how many degrees the coffee had to be, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. One person even talked about how thick the foam had to be. I mean, that's how crazy it is, and we take that mindset, and we put it in the church, and if the church isn't meeting our needs, then we go church shopping. Yeah, I just went off on a tangent, but that's part of this service problem. We have a consumer mentality as opposed to a contributor mindset. Huh. What do you think? A contributor in the church shows up to church. A contributor in the church uses their gifts. A contributor in the church prays for the church. A contributor in the church tithes and serves passionately and invites others to come. I have a question. Are you a contributor or are you a consumer? You see, with a consumer mindset, we'll never find our place serving. But if we're a contributor, then we understand it's about giving, not receiving. The focus is on Him and others. And in that, ironically, we find ourselves blessed when we serve. God wants you to contribute, not just consume. Well, that's a lot of information, but I want you to process it, and I want you to take away one thing that you could write down and say, this is where I'm serving, or this is where I want to serve. And remember, God's grace is over all this. God bless you as you process this fire hose of information.
Tender mercies and your love. Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at wvcch.org, or you can join us live in one of our Sunday services. Have a great day. And your love that you've always shown me. You forget all my rebellion.